Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and increase us in our awareness of the Lord.
Amen.
Father, we bless you today. We pray the anointing of the Lord to come in wisdom and might and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's kind of difficult to follow up this morning after 2 weeks ago because I just felt like that was such a high point. But I do feel like the Lord wants to speak some significant things to us today. We're in such a great season of understanding of our connections to the Father and how that connection translates to one another. Everybody say one another, one another.
One another, one another.
Amen. We know that everything that starts in the Spirit, God intends to reveal to the earth. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the Spirit this morning because the Lord is really bringing home the point to me that the importance of walking in the Spirit, walking in a place not dictated by the soulishness of our natural man or our physical body, but learning to walk in the Spirit of Christ. You know, the book of Romans, and I'm going to read out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in just a moment. But in the book of Romans, it talks about those that are led by the Spirit of the Lord, these are the sons of God. And it talks that if you're in the Spirit of God, if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're moving in the Spirit, you're free from the laws and the condemnation of this age. You're free from the trappings of the natural realm because you're brought into a different realm than what you would be in the natural. And when Christ came, he literally broke down this wall of division. And when we speak about this point of the cross, we understand that there was such a destruction on his part to destroy that which man had been locked into and to bring us into a brand new place. It's called the point of reconciliation, where Christ became the mediator of a new covenant. He literally broke down a wall of division that has separated us from God. And because that wall has been broken down, because there's been a bringing down of this enmity that kept us from the presence of God, we can now have access to him. Are you glad you have access this morning to the Lord? In fact, it says you can come boldly to the throne of grace in your time of need. That which has once restrained you and restricted you is no longer there. It's been removed. We know that sin was an issue. And God said, I've taken the sin and I've cast it as far as the east as the west to remember it no more. And not only is it no longer an issue with God, but it should no longer be an issue with you. Because God said, I'm going to take you out of literally the consciousness of sin. Take that out of your mind. Take it out of you that you'll no longer be captured by what you were. You begin to see yourself in who you are. And that's been a lot of our theme, is teaching and understanding who we are in Christ. That we literally are a new creation. You know, the book of John says that when a man's born again, he's born of the Spirit. You have two births, right? You have a birth that's natural, but you also have a birth of the Spirit. And when you're birthed in the Spirit, it gives you the ability to see the kingdom of God. That which has not been seen before can now be seen. What you could not perceive by your natural man, now you can begin to perceive in your spiritual man. That's an incredible benefit that God gives, isn't it? Where we're not limited just to live in a natural, but now we have an access to a heavenly. We have access to a realm that literally has no limitations nor boundaries upon what we can become and what we can do. Amen. And so when I see the thing about Spirit, I see the importance of the Lord bringing us to this place of empowering each one of us with this uniqueness of understanding about what the Spirit does in our life. Now, everyone here is a body, right? Have a body, slap your body a little bit. That's your body. You have a soul, go, ah! Okay, that's your soul, man. And you have a spirit. And when you come into salvation, your spirit man comes alive. You become a new creation. And all of a sudden, this pipeline has been opened up between you and God. Where God is a spirit. How many know God is a spirit? Everybody say, God is a spirit. So all of a sudden, you become a spirit also. You're no longer just a soulish man or a physical man, but now you've become a spiritual man. The biggest challenge we have in that is that it's very difficult oftentimes to relate to the spiritual man because the physical man and the soulish man are so predominant. But God wants the spiritual man to become the predominant one. He wants that inner man that's in you, the inner spirit that he communicates with, he wants that man to be the one that rules in your life. So I could say this. When the kingdom of God comes to the earth, it comes by spirit. And what spirit does it come to? It comes to your spirit. So where's the kingdom? The kingdom of God is it within you. It's in your spirit. Everything that God is, everything that God thinks, everything that God wills is in you. He's put all of that in you. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is now in you when you're born again.
Absolutely.
Wow. The unlimited wisdom of a creator resides in each one of you. The unlimited power of creation lies within inside of each one of you. Christ is in you. That's powerful, isn't it? That there could be a living part of you that has no taint, but only perfection.
Hallelujah.
That's your spirit.
That's right.
It's perfect. Everybody say, that which is in me
is perfect.
It has no flaw.
No
deficit,
no
weakness.
It's perfect.
It's perfectly connected to heaven. No wonder Paul says that your natural mind is an enemy of God. Enemy of God. Is that right? Enemy? Enemy of God. Because this natural mind tries to convince the spiritual mind that you cannot, you will not, you shall not. The natural mind is the soulish man. When we look at the difference between spirit and soul, it's very evident. The soulish man is subjective. What does it mean to be subjective? It means to be influenced by other things around you than the constant of truth.
Come on.
See, truth is constant. There's no deviation, nor lie, nor deception in what God is. God is truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. So everything that's in God is the right thing. Right? And so he becomes the constant of everything. He's the God that changeth not. He's the God same yesterday, today, and forever. There's nothing that happens on this earth that influences one iota the will of God. The will of God is already predetermined, preset, pre-laid out in order to happen. You may think you could stop this march of the kingdom coming, but you can't stop it no matter how hard you try. The devil can't stop it. In fact, God already defeated him. He doesn't have to stop the devil anymore. The devil has already been defeated. The only thing that God's waiting on is for us to come into oneness with what he wants. So he can manifest it through us. I don't know why God did that. Why did God choose to limit himself and wait on us to reveal who he was to the world? Why didn't he just come down and open up a big blast in the sky and says, look, God, world, here I am. No, he chose to manifest himself through a people called his family. Because in the heart of God is this great core of love that's so intense that he refuses to be independent. He determines to be one with you. And so everything that he'll ever will be upon the earth is what he reveals through you. Now, it might happen tomorrow, It might happen next week or next month or next year. It might not happen for another 100 years, but bless God, it's going to happen. One day, the world will see the Father through you just the way they saw him through Jesus.
Come on. That's it.
At least I get ahead of myself. Let me go back to this thing we call subjectivity. I know it's your favorite topic. What does it mean to be subjective? It means to be influenced and to be led by something apart from the constant of truth that lies in the Spirit. In other words, it means that you let your emotions or what you see or what you hear or what affects you in your sense realm, your five senses, you let that affect you, or even your perception of what you think is, you let that affect you and determine your future and your destiny apart from what the Spirit of God says that you are.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on, Papa.
And that's called immaturity. Maturity is when you learn to discern the difference between your spirit and your soul. And you can recognize when your soul man is being subjective and making determinations that would influence the constant of the truth that God wants to bring forth in you by spirit. That's the only reason we sin. Because there is no sin in us. God took it out of us, right? But the only reason the outer man, the physical man, or the soulish man sins is because it loses connection with what the spiritual man says and what the spiritual man has become in you.
Come on.
So sin is the absence of connection. When we're no longer connected to God in spirit the way we should be, or the awareness of the connection, because we're always connected, but when the connection is not flourishing in our life, then what happens out of our physical man or our soulish man that gets into disobedience, it's called sin, is the result of the absence of connection.
Come on. Yes. Come on. Yes.
So how do you get free from sin? Fast and pray for 40 days? Well, maybe if that connects you back to the Lord, they'll go ahead. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying, but you've got to turn to the Lord, because it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to get to a scripture here, if you want to look there, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we with all unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. That is just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What transforms you? What transforms you? The glory of the Lord. How do you get the glory? By turning to God. You can be absence of glory one moment, but in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, be bathed in glory.
Come on.
You have access by the Spirit instantaneously into the presence of the Lord. Because it's in the presence of God that transformation takes place. Because it's not that inner man, that spiritual man, you has to get more perfect. It's already perfect. But what happens when you get the spiritual man engaged with God through turning to God, that the spiritual man begins to flood into the soulish man and begins to bring the soulish man into correction to what he should think and what he should do. So you're ruled by your spirit. Greater is he that is ruled by his spirit than he that ruleth the city. If you can let the Spirit of God rule in you, then nothing is impossible to you. It's greater in you what Christ has put in you that's in the whole world. Said, and Isaiah said, those that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. Those that turn to the Lord in that day will find him in the midst of them. What does the church in America need to do today? One thing, just turn to the Lord. We just need to turn to the Lord. How do we turn to the Lord? We worship Him. We lose ourselves in Him. We pour ourselves into who God is to become one with Him. See, there's aggressiveness of faith that comes out of us that rises up and says, I will not be denied my marriage to God, my unity with God, who I am with God. I will not be forsaken in this hour, but I will be joined with my God to be one with Him. Just the same aggression that we have towards one another. When we say, Lord, we love You with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength, then we love our neighbor just like that. The aggressiveness of oneness and connection, that we don't deny the fact that if we were to pull apart, then something comes in the midst of us, but we refuse the separation. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, I pray that you all come to this unity of spirit where you have the same mind, the same heart, the same love, the same affection for one another.
Yes.
The intensity of relationship to God and the intensity of relationship to one another, where we refuse to allow the subjectivity of the mind to interfere with our connection. That's why Jesus, the Lord said, I don't judge you. Are you glad that God's not judging you this morning?
Come on.
Man, I'm glad. I'm happy about that. Everybody say, I'm happy that Jesus isn't judging me this morning.
Amen.
Are you glad that He said this scripture? I don't see any man anymore after the flesh. Then why are you still seeing each other after the flesh then? If God doesn't see us that way, if you see me one moment in the flesh, you won't like me much, because your subjectivity will take over and your subjectivity will evaluate me according to the standard that you've set.
Yeah. Come on. Preach it.
And it will separate us.
Yes.
But in God, there is no subjectivity. All He sees us with is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He sees who we've been made by Him to be upon the earth.
Right.
He sees what we have been destined to become.
Yes.
And He refuses to break bonds with that or to sever that relationship in spite of your faults, in spite of your weakness. His weakness, your weakness, is His strength is greater than that. Paul said, in my weakness, I found His strength.
Come on.
In my lack, I found His abundance. In my insufficiency, I found His sufficiency. In everything that I wasn't, I found out who He was. And that's what God does with us together. Many people claim to love the Lord, but when it comes to loving others, it's a different story. Are you really loving the way you should love? Are you holding your love in reserve because of your judgment about what you think others are or not?
Come on.
Or is your love like His love? Would it be weird if you were to love people the way God loved you? No, it wouldn't be weird. It'd be awesome.
Come on.
Woo! Man, to know the aggressive nature of God towards loving you is phenomenal. The love of God that passeth all understanding. No understanding. Wow. I feel like I've already preached 40 minutes, but it's only been about 12. No, 15. You might get a short one this morning. You already got it, though, don't you? You got it. John 6:32, it says, My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The Spirit that comes. Spirit, we sang that song, Spirit, come down. Well, we don't, you know, He hasn't come anywhere, He's already here. But what it means is, Spirit, come in. We open our spirit to You, to be merged in unity with you. To turn to the Lord and be transformed. Romans 12 says, to be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Amen. It's a beautiful principle, isn't it? They spoke of Daniel. The king said, I've heard of you. I've heard of you, Daniel. That the Spirit of God is in you. And that light and understanding and excellent wisdom were found in you. I've heard of you. Can the world say that to us today? They've heard of who we are. That in us is the light of the world. In us is the understanding and the wisdom and the strength of God. In us is this people that's connecting a people to the Father. That we have the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. That we're connecting everyone to the Father's heart. Jesus said, this is my Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be in me, God, what's in you. Wow. Woo! Tonight we're going to talk about connecting in the Spirit. Opening ourselves up to that incredible experience of connection. Understanding that until we can connect to one another, we're not truly connected to God. Don't tell me that, preacher. I've got my relationship to God. Man, I've got a spirit of God. I mean, yeah, but who are you connected to? Well, I don't need any connection. I've got God. No, you don't have God. You have a facsimile. How you say it? Facsimile of who you think God is. Because the reality is there can be no relationship to God unless that relationship connects you to the people around you that are in God. Come on. It's a false statement you're making. Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. Doesn't mean you haven't been saved. It just means you're deceived by your own subjective mind. Because true oneness with God means true oneness with God's people. There's no two ways about it. Don't lie to yourself. Quit lying to yourself. Your isolation, your cut-off feeling is all because of your subjective spirit. The reason you don't feel connected, the reason you don't feel one, is not the people's fault, it's yours. Because you haven't learned yet to understand that the Spirit of God in you is greater than that mind in you that's trying to keep you separated from your people, and that you're judging people, and that's a lie. When you have the absence of judgment, you'll never be offended. When you have the Spirit of God in you, nothing can offend you. You'd be like Jesus, slap you on one cheek, turn the other. Nothing offends someone that's walking in the Spirit. Someone that's walking in the Spirit is immune to the law. The Spirit rules. Wouldn't you like the Spirit to rule? I'm not preaching to you. I'm talking to myself. I'm the one that needs as much homework on this as anybody, I can guarantee you. But one thing I know is I'm learning what it's like to be immersed in the Lord and to be immersed in you. Paul said, I've become like a poured out offering. Pouring my life. He said, I'm giving everything to God, but I'm giving it everything to you as well. That's what relationship's all about, isn't it? Relationship is 100% commitment. There's no holding back within our hearts. The love that's the fervent love that God wants in the church today isn't just some religious exercise of coming together on a Sunday or a Wednesday or whatever, but it's coming together in spirit so that our bonds have become eternal in purpose and plan that God has for us. Okay. Have you been looking to fit in for a long time? Or you wish that someone would just understand you. Are you looking for a perfect place to be a part of? How do we do life when we're not so perfect? How do we walk together with people that we know aren't perfect? I know not everyone can be like my wife. So how do you walk together with normal people that aren't so perfect? Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. I'm no dummy, right? I was telling him over in Korea, I said, you know, Jonathan, who's coming over with the Koreans, you'll love this guy. But he was talking about, he was giving his testimony. He was talking about going to church camp. And forgive me if I've told this any time recently here. I may have never told this here recently. This might be the first time you've ever heard this. I was about seventh grade. I was at a church camp down here at the Highland Lakes, Methodist church camp. And we'd been out being boys one day, you know, running around. It was our free time, and there was a bunch of girls over there. So we thought, well, we'll chase the girls. And it seemed like a great idea at first. And as we were running, we'd come to this fence. And I've never been the most fleet-footed person around. I was built more as a lineman type, you know. So I thought, well, I'm gonna leap the fence. And there was a barbed wire fence. Well, I almost made it. But, you know, in life you find it almost isn't good enough. The fence caught my feet. And just like some weird, I mean, I just slammed right down on my jaw. Didn't even stop myself at all. Broke my jaw. And parents had to come down and get me. Needless to say, they weren't very happy. But I learned a lesson out of that. I learned a lesson that has stuck with me the rest of my life. Never chase women. Let them chase you. Even though some may never catch up with you, it's still better than trying to catch up with them. How many of you guys have had that problem? Too many women chasing you around. Okay. Not too many guys here could answer that affirmatively. As usual, I lost my place in what I was trying to say. Huh? Subjectivity. That's being subject, isn't it? How do we connect with people that aren't perfect? I don't know. Would y'all tell me? Why don't you tell me how you... I know many of you have been trying to connect with me for 30 years. And I sure haven't been perfect. It starts with our being willing to humble ourselves to one another. It all starts in that, doesn't it? And humility. Because I won't ever be one with you if I insist upon being right with you.
Come on.
That I have to be right.
That's it.
I just want to be one with you. Now, you may be so wrong that no one could ever straighten you out. But that still doesn't lessen the fact that I need to be aggressive in my humility to you to be one with you.
Come on.
So good.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, look what Jesus did. He did everything to be one with you. He even gave up his life. And no greater love than a man have than he laid down his own life for his friends. What great demonstration will we do to one another to love each other? Amen. And I know that people like me are not easy to love. Sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. People like you maybe aren't that easy to love sometimes, or even most of the time. But still, I'm gonna look at you like Christ looks at you. If I could see you like Christ sees you, just for an instant even, I could just fall madly in love with you. Because I see the value that he puts upon your life and who you are. And it's so wonderful to know this God that looks upon every individual with the same compassion and concern. Billions of people in the world, and every one of them that knows God, every one of the people in the world that knows God, thinks that they are the most special one that God ever knew. That's how love really is, isn't it? That's what I loved about my friend that just passed away, our friend Sue and I, and many of you others that were friends of her. Great lady of God. Had great esteem, great authority, great reputation. But when you were with her, you always felt you were the most important person that she ever knew. And I'm thinking, Lord, I just want to be like that. I want to see your people as so precious and so wonderful that they'll all feel that connection when I'm with them. See, when I'm objective in my spirit, I get over myself. You know, really, when I get over myself, it's easy for me to get in with you. When I quit thinking about how everything's affected me and how everything's affected my life and the whole situation and whatever it may be, when I just get over myself, when I get into the greater reality of understanding who you are, then when I decrease, like Paul said, then I can understand who you are. What separates me from you is not you, it's what I think of you. When I keep thinking of you the wrong way, it keeps me separated from you. When I start thinking of you the way that God sees you, then it begins to connect me with you. Amen. Now, when you find this connection beaming towards you, how many of you have had a connection beam towards you? When you find someone being aggressively approaching you to say, hey, I love you, I want to be one with you, but yet you pull back from that connection. Because they hurt you. They said something wrong to you. They did something you didn't like. They don't smell right that day or whatever. Whatever the problem is, when you find yourself pulling back from that, that's when you need to take stock of what's going on with you and say, Lord, listen, I don't want to be that way. I want to be a person that lets their walls come down. Do you know the kingdom of God, it describes as a kingdom without walls? How many know what a wall is? What's the purpose of a wall? It's to divide something, separate something. And the Bible said the kingdom won't have these kind of walls there. But men, we create walls, don't we? We create walls in our churches, our denominations, our sects, our different beliefs. We have walls that separate us. But we also have walls individually that separate us. And we typically build walls because there's been a time in our life that we've been hurt. And there's not a person in here that hasn't been hurt by something in your life. Come on. And when we get hurt, we tend to we build a wall or a callus so that we won't be affected or hurt in that same situation again. We might have been so close to a situation and someone offended us or someone said something wrong or someone did something wrong, which they will, guarantee it, that's what's going to happen in your life. Someone's going to say something, do something, or be something wrong to you that's going to offend you sometime sooner or later, right? And when you build a wall against that, it becomes an impregnable wall that begins to shut off your heart so that no one can ever penetrate that part again because you're afraid of the hurt that'll happen. Well, the kingdom is a kingdom that God says, I'm going to bring all the walls down and I'm going to give their access into your heart like you've never had before. But the access has two ways to work. Now that the wall's down, access can come out and things can come in. Now, will things come in again that could hurt you? Yes. But they won't hurt you as long as you're walking in the Spirit. When you're walking subjectivity, you're always going to be evaluating what's happening to you and you'll make decisions about what's happening to you, and those decisions are wrong if you base them on the fact of how your natural man receives it. But if you receive it by the Spirit, then you can receive no offense.
Come on.
You mean there's nothing that can happen to you, Pastor, that can offend you? No, nothing. Not unless, when I'm walking in the Spirit, nothing can offend me.
Come on.
Now, if I drop down out of the spirit, I'll be offended easily. Nothing hurts you? No, nothing hurts me in the spirit.
That's it.
Some people come to me and say, oh, Pastor, I'm afraid we hurt you. You didn't hurt me. Maybe disappointed me, but I'm not hurt because I'm not going to build a wall. So you're afraid someone will hurt you again? I know someone will hurt me again. I know many people will probably hurt me, but I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about being one. I'm concerned about being connected. I'm not concerned about the potential that might hurt me. I'm concerned about the love that God wants to manifest through me. You see what I'm saying? Is this making sense to you?
Come on.
Amen. Now I'm just kind of rambling around and talking. Live with it. Amen. It's good stuff, though, isn't it? And so this is our future. Our future is becoming stronger and stronger in the purpose and the plan of God. Our future is becoming this kingdom without walls, of people that can access the Lord and that can be accessed, and not looking for the negative things that are going to happen, but we keep looking for the affirmation of what God's going to create in the midst of us through our love for one another.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
How many like this?
Amen.
Say, I like it. I want it. I love it. I need it. Bring more of it. Amen. So when we learn to meet God with an excellence in our spirit, we learn to meet Him, the Spirit of God becomes so excellent in us that nothing can prevail against us. Like that scripture, no weapon formed against you will prosper. No plan, no endeavor, and no brother, no sister, nobody's going to prosper. Nothing that's coming against you will prosper when you're in the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Whew. Man. Good stuff. It really is, isn't it? Put your hand on your heart. Lord, I receive your word this morning. The word of truth. I will not be subjected to the laws of futility, the laws of judgmentalism, but I only be subjected to the law of truth. And the truth is, I love you, and I love my neighbor. And that's all that matters. That I just love you with all my heart, and I love my neighbor with the same compassion and passion. And Lord, I just dive into you this morning. I dive into your glory, into your spirit, into your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Boy, I just feel this word this morning shattering some things in the spirit. Wow. Glory to God. Man, I love it. Don't you dare say that word offended me. You're in trouble if you say that. Oh my goodness. It says in Hebrews, it said the word of God comes in sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides to the very joint and the marrow and the very intents of the hearts of man. That's how powerful the word of God is. So the word comes by the Spirit. Friends, sets us all free, and we rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah.